Episode 4, Theme Parks in Australasia. Welcome to the fourth episode of Jay Won't Darts podcast. Finally an episode where I can try to relax. I get so nervous recording these podcast episodes, reading facts from books and Wikipedia. Some of this podcast is straight from my own memories. I've left errors in the other podcasts, some of them stand out, so I'm trying to be calmer and do a better job making new episodes. I include my little script as the description and also lyrics, so you should be able to read along as I talk. I'm including sources I've used in the script down the bottom, so you can see the actual address for the video clips I've put in this audio podcast. If you want to see them for yourself, it's easy enough to search for my clips, and I say who uploaded them so they get the credit, but the whole address is down the bottom. In this episode, I'll talk about Australasian theme parks I've been to, and maybe an infamous theme park for good measure, Luna Park in Sydney. Ooh. Maybe in another episode I'll talk about Disney. If you'd like me to do that, send me an email at jwon'tdart@gmail.com and ask. The first real theme park I visited would be Rainbow's End, a theme park in Auckland, New Zealand. I was about 7, I don't remember much of that very well. I do remember fairly standard things like the Dodgem cars and one of these motion rides where you're in a movie theatre with moving chairs that make you feel like you're in the movie. Here's a clip from New Zealand TV, Pulp Sport, which is a stupid show about sport. Two idiot hosts do some dumb little stunts, like trying to sneak beer into cricket games, and having their mascot, which is like some kind of a rat or something, it tries to sneak into places without paying, just because it's a mascot. In this clip it goes to Rainbow's End, where it gets taken out by the big security guard. You can hear what's happening from the music change, from the Rainbow's End theme song from ads, to Limp Bizkit.
Yep, come with me, you'll see. We will learn to touch
hey.
The new sky with
hey, just here for the kids, buddy.
All the colors of the
fly. Oh, on at the moment. Worth it, though. They got so far. Hey, take off. Stephen Duffer. Ooh. Oh, it's going to be a good kids' party today.
That's rainbow magic.
Good time.
That's rainbow magic.
Hey, why not the kids' party? What about the kids?
The biggest thing I remember from Rainbow's End was being terrified of the roller coaster, the corkscrew roller coaster. It was called the Coca-Cola corkscrew, I think. Pepsi, Coke, something like that. Anyway, I was barely big enough to ride it. I was tall for my age, but it still scared the crap out of me. I got up to the queue before telling my dad I had to go to the toilet. He said he would wait, but I told him to go on without me. Sounds like a soldier in a movie. I stayed back and watched him go around it twice. It had a bit, the corkscrew from the ride's name, where it spirals over the footpath near where I was standing by the toilets. This huge metal thing spinning around upside down and back just a couple meters above where people were walking. In this episode, I'll mention some of the accidents that have happened at the different theme parks, in a respectful way, of course. I mean, these are real people that I'll mention, with families. They aren't just statistics to be brought up by idiots like me. But a theme park is all about making people feel scared, like you're on an out-of-control ride, so I think it's worth mentioning the times when things really did go wrong. Two people have died at Rainbow's End. A young man cleaning a Ferris wheel in the little kids' area, Michael Ross Stewart, he was horribly crushed. Before that, Thomas Wayne Hemme, who fell from a bungee jump. The staff working at the theme park hadn't put the bungee cord around him properly, and he fell. New Zealand doesn't have many theme parks, sadly. Just a few circus kind, really. Rainbow's End has the only real roller coaster in the whole country, as far as I know. I have been on some cool other rides, like the Kamikaze, which is this big swinging thing. It has two pendulum cars that swing opposite from each other, really scary being inside, but fun, amazing to watch from outside. The two arms have to build up momentum before they can go right over the top. They take a few swings each to get up near the top before they go right over when they get right up there. before slowly slipping back down. Then the next swing will take them over fairly easily, and from then on they zoom around and around. The cars are sort of pointed in shape, both cars face both ways, and the people inside face out at the end closest to them. Say there's 12 rows of double seats, 24 people total, while 6 rows will face north and 6 rows face south. If you are any of the front rows of the 4 total sections, it's doubly scary, because you're so close to outside the car, you're just 20 centimetres or so from being outside of the swinging thing. I was really scared to go on the ride, but got pressured into it by friends. I would have been about 12. I really loved it afterwards, and sure I'm glad I went. Looking up Wikipedia about the kamikaze-style ride, it's known as a pendulum-style ride, meaning it swings about. People apparently have died or been seriously injured, and it seems to be when they are too small and slip out of the ride's harnesses. I'd rate the kamikaze 3 out of 5. So yeah, no real roller coasters in this country. New Zealanders go over to Australia for the real theme parks. The biggest parks in Australia are Dream World and Movie World on the Gold Coast, with Luna Park in Sydney. I'll leave Luna Park till last. It's had a terrifying history. I've been to Dream World and Movie World in 2005 for a high school geography trip to Australia. Warner Brothers Movie World is styled after famous movies, of course. It has rides to do with The Matrix, Scooby-Doo, Superman, Batman, and Lethal Weapon. Something really awesome about Movie World, it has an actual movie studio on set. They're closed to the public, of course, but it's really cool to think that big movies are made at an actual theme park, especially one I've been to. Movies made at Movie World include the live-action Scooby-Doo movies and Ghost Ship. I'm reading from Wikipedia for a lot of this episode's information. Wikipedia mentions that when Movie World opened in 1991, many huge A-list celebrities were paid to show up. Clint Eastwood and Mel Gibson were both actually there for the opening. That's so cool. Clint Eastwood is awesome. Rides I went on at Movie World were the Looney Tunes roller coaster, the Lethal Weapon roller coaster, the second version of the Batman ride, Police Academy stunt show, and Scooby-Doo. It doesn't sound like much for all the time we spent there, basically a whole day, but there are hour-long queues for some rides and other things in between the main rides. My favourite ride at Movie World was Lethal Weapon. I'll play a clip from YouTube soon. A guy calling himself Koza23 took a video camera on the ride and recorded it. It's awesome going through these ride view videos on YouTube, brings back memories. The first part of the minute-long clip, you hear the ride very slowly crawling up the hill part it starts from. I felt awful at this stage. You're sitting in the harness, but your legs are free below you. Your legs dangle beneath you. It doesn't really hurt, but it feels pretty weird. I didn't say anything going up, but I wandered off as soon as it climbed up. Slowly. It's a gross feeling looking at the concrete beneath your dangling legs. It moved so slowly that I was feeling sick. I felt pretty good in the actual ride. I really enjoyed that part. Reading about the ride, Lethal Weapon is fairly old now, and older steel roller coasters make a lot of noise. It's sort of the design, but also wear and tear over the years. They rattle and click a lot. More modern roller coasters are said to be much quieter and smoother feeling. People comment that the Lethal Weapon makes them feel sick or have a headache from all its noise. It doesn't sound very loud in the video, except for that clacking sound at the end. That's the brakes stopping it very quickly. I hate that noise, it's just above your head. In the clip, the guy swears just as it goes upside down for the first time. I'll roll it now.
Woohoo! Is the camera here, Ben?
Hope you could imagine the roller coaster okay. If you want to see the video I played, you can search for COZA 23 Lethal Weapon on Google, or I have the actual link in the bottom of my script I'm reading. You can see it hopefully in the description or lyrics parts of my podcast. I'd give Lethal Weapon 4 out of 5. It really was cool, but it's old and makes a lot of annoying noises. When I visited Movie World, the huge Superman escape coaster was in pieces in the parking lot. My friends noticed all the parts as we left. Huge pieces of steel painted blue and red, the size and kind of shape of giant dinosaur bones. That ride opened up after we left. It cost $12 million according to Wikipedia. That's a little over $15 million according to Google. You type in 12 million AUD in NZD, Australian and New Zealand dollar, and it can convert that fairly well. I use that when I buy things from overseas to work out the total cost. You can make it do American money to New Zealand or whatever. The clip I'll play below mentions it costing 16 million Australian. Not sure what the right figure is, because Wikipedia is always correct. This clip came from YouTube. It's a recording of the Sunrise morning program that plays in Australia. I cut out the boring bits of this 10-minute clip down to the minute of the actual ride. The TV show had some annoying little host riding it around opening time, along with some Movie World manager guy next to him in front. The host never shuts up. This video was taken by Cheesy888AU.
We were having a little giggle earlier on. We looked in the paper yesterday that said Michael Schumacher's Ferrari goes 0 to 100 kilometres an hour in 1.9 seconds. This does it in 2 with 20 people on board. So that gives you an idea how serious the experience is. Are we ready to roll, everyone?
Yeah, beat that Ferrari.
Okay, let's take it away. We're going to throw to you and let you take away with the weather as we go up, up and away! Take it away!
Sunrise.
Saturday. Now, back to Grand Mad Dog Super Rider, Denya.
Okie dokie, folks. We are now on the launching pad. We have gone through the earthquake. The world is going wrong. We're about to be saved by the great man himself. The head's back, the hands are on, because the spindle's about to turn for Australia's only catapult roller coaster. And we're away! 100 k an hour! We're weightless! We're weightless! We're free falling without a parachute! Yeah! Oh my god! $16 million well spent! I am Superman! I am the greatest of them all! Yeah! Superman Escape, I love you! That is the greatest!
It's the best! Wow!
Beat that, Ferrari!
Something weird about Superman Escape. Okay, so the whole ride is about you being on a subway train that goes weird in an imaginary city. Things are exploding around you, then Superman is meant to fly up behind you. A blue laser kind of projection flicks past you. He says,
"Hold on, folks, I'll get you out of here. Fast, Superman fast."
So he grabs the roller coaster you're in and then blasts you out of the way. 0 to 100 in 2 seconds, doing all crazy loops and stuff. The car actually has a plastic Superman sticking off the back of it. It looks nuts having this plastic doll thing sticking out of the back, like it's pushing the ride car. Superman Escape probably has a waiting time of like an hour. All the major rides seem to have long waiting lines. It's just normal. I didn't really keep track of the time, but it felt like I was waiting all day to go on each ride I went on. It's pretty sad when you realize it's over in 30 seconds. It's definitely worth going on all of these rides. I'm just pointing out, waiting over an hour for something that costs between 15 to 20 million New Zealand bucks, and it lasts 30 seconds? I went on the Scooby-Doo Spooky Coaster ride. That was actually really cool. Tim and my school group had been on it before, and so we all decided to do it. I think this might have been the longest wait out of all the rides we went on. It felt like 2 hours. The line waits inside this sort of haunted house thing. It's surrounded with, like, fake stone walls made out of plastic and foam. There's heaps of really crappy-looking props. It's embarrassing to look at the interior of the waiting bit again. I have a few pictures on Wikipedia. You can see this fountain that's inside. It's got these little demon monsters that are made out of the plastic rock stuff. It looks like shit in person when you have to stare at it for over an hour. The ride itself, you get into this little car. It's like a minecart kind of thing. The design is a wild mouse coaster. They are smaller indoor roller coasters, with lots of quick turns like what a crazy mouse would do. The Scooby-Doo ride starts off like a haunted house ride. It's all dark, and inside the walls are painted on glow-in-the-dark skeletons and stuff. Boring. It gets much better. There are like swinging axes that you just fit under. I'm pretty tall and was actually wondering how much leeway people have. The tallest people in the world must get hit. Would the staff warn them? Sir, you're too tall for this ride? That would be embarrassing. Then there's mirrors inside the ride. Someone in our group, I won't mention him, he got fooled into thinking that there were two ride cars going to crash headfirst into each other because of the mirror in front of our car. It was pretty funny. He said something like, "Whoa, we're gonna crash!" or something. It's a ride. It's meant to look scary and out of control. There's some robot puppet Scooby-Doo inside that says something. I still don't know what it said. The Scooby-Doo voice was kind of confusing to listen to inside this dark ride, with fog and glow-in-the-dark paint, and the ride finally starts then. Okay, so some door opens up, and the ride car begins the actual roller coaster part. There's some amazing elevator thing that lifts up the car, and then there's fog and green lasers that blast out neon green straight lines inside the ride. The elevator stops at its top, the car rolls backwards down, and through some crazy little drops and things. It's amazing how scary that actually was, and it's unexpected. It's a kid's ride, and it's actually kind of thrilling how nuts it feels going backwards in a Scooby-Doo minecart thing, getting thrown about the bumps. We were having a great time. We were all so scared of going backwards. Thank God the car turns around on a kind of turntable. The main roller coaster part was nuts. It's not as fast as Lethal Weapon, but it's so dark, and you can kind of see the ground beneath the track. You seem to be really high off the ground with just this little track holding you up. When the ride's over, another robot puppet Scooby talks, and you get out. I don't know if you can ride again. That would be good, because Spooky Coaster was actually one of the best rides that we went on, even with the huge weight in the foam plastic rock room. 4 out of 5. The Police Academy stunt show was kind of cool. It was very old and was replaced soon after I visited the park. It's to do with the old Police Academy movies. It was all a sort of slapstick comedy, silly cops trying to catch stupid robbers. There's an explosion that goes off from a crashing helicopter. The crowd in the stands can feel the immense heat from the blast. It's amazing. It felt like my hair was being burnt off. The stunt drivers can really do some cool stunts. They had an old American police car, a few mini motorcycles, and a golf cart that did little tricks about the set. The concrete is hosed down to make it slick. The golf cart driver made it do a wheelie for the whole length of the circuit and parked it in place before the nose came down. Very impressive. After I left the stunt show, my group noticed Tana Umanga, captain of the All Blacks rugby team. He was probably one of the very top New Zealand stars. It's really weird seeing him in person. I didn't want to bother him, but others in the group asked for a picture, so I managed to take a few photos of my friends with Tana Umanga. I'll be generous and give the stunt show a 3 out of 5. Last ride I'll mention at Movie World was Batman Adventure, The Ride, another attraction Tim told us was good. It turns out the Batman ride was updated to make it better. I've got quotation marks there for a reason. It sucks big time. You can't imagine how shit this ride was. It was awful. The wait was over an hour. It had like these velvet ropes, I think, and it's just a queue of people outside in hot weather. I was eating an ice cream that was melting and going all over my hands. Not fun. Outside are props from the old Batman movies. They seem so old now compared to the Dark Knight era. There's prop Batman boats and things. Not very interesting. Then you get inside Wayne Manor, Batman's house. There's a tour guide who had to say the same speech she'd made literally thousands of times before. It must be a soul-crushing job to work in a theme park, having to pretend you are interested in talking about the same made-up characters a few times an hour. She was so uninterested in her job, it made me feel embarrassed to be in my late teens on the ride, when even the staff don't like being there. She said something like, "This is Batman's house. Look at all Batman's books. He is rich. He has lots of books. Oh, look, now a video is starting. Let's go help Batman. The video that plays is some security network Batman uses to look after people. Bullshit! It's all to spy on us while we're in the shower. Suicidal staff member then pulled a book out of the bookcase. Oh, a secret door opens up in one of the bookcases. That was the very coolest part of the riot. I've always wanted secret passages in my dream house. You go into the Batcave entrance. There's fake rocks and stuff, I think. Dripping water sounds and bat noises. Then you get to sit down and see Batman at his control center. This part sucks so bad you won't believe how bad it sucks until you see it for yourself. I've looked on Google for video of this part, but can never find it. I think maybe suicidal staff members take away cameras from this bit, because they want everyone in the world to suffer through this terrible thing in person. There's all these screens and controls. It's the Batcave pretty much just like in the movies, with the world's fastest supercomputer that Batman is meant to replace every 20 seconds with a new $20 billion machine. But I guess he's feeling the recession, because this thing is from the early 90s. My cell phone would be more of a supercomputer, assuming the prop was real. The screens all flash video of the criminals, and warnings go off, and Batman himself rises up from the ground on a chair. It always faces away from you, I think. You can see his back, he's got the cape on, and the pointy ear bits like you'd expect. This animatronic monstrosity can move its arms and head. The head kind of rolls from side to side, I think. And the arms just keep moving like it's punching someone. Probably the same puppet as used in a boxing ride. It's meant to be pushing buttons and pulling switches, but it's just like it's punching the consoles. Something hilarious from Wikipedia. Apparently theme parks' rides are just allowed to break down. They cost millions of bucks and last 10 years or so. Near the end, they are thrashed. Batman here, it used to turn around and face the audience according to Wikipedia, but it wasn't used often or something, and it's all rusted up, so it can't turn around? That doesn't make sense to me, but it's fun to imagine. The rest of the ride is really that bad, so why not have a malfunctioning Batman robot? Even Batman himself is screwed up in this ride. So then you get in these hovercraft things. It really spoils the ride, because there's staff members there who have to help you get in. The videos tell you there's an emergency happening, and all these comic book characters are stealing billion-dollar diamonds, cutting off the power to the city, and you have to be helped into a seat by another disinterested staff member. They check everyone's click their little belts on, I think, and then they close the hovercraft simulator doors, and a little motion simulator starts up, a few people in each machine. It shows some on-screen really bad CG movie. It's got Catwoman and Mr. Freeze, the Joker, voiced by Mark Hamill, you know Luke Skywalker? Well, these villains are flying with jetpacks or something around the city, and you're just doing loop-the-loops and things after them. Batman is meant to be flying his main thing in front of you, with everyone else there just to back him up. Somehow, you beat the villains, and the power goes on, the diamond gets returned, everything is solved. Job well done. I'd give this ride 1 out of 5, just for how funny it is thinking about the staff who hate doing their bits, and the secret passage. I wonder if they'll update the ride again in 2015, to make it like the 2008 Dark Knight movie. I liked Movie World a lot. We had seen it in the Visit Australia sort of video that we got put on at school. It was a VHS tape, I think. It had parts about the theme parks, anyway. At Movie World, it had some really sad-sounding 30-somethings singing the Aqua song, Cartoon Heroes. You know Aqua. They did the Barbie Girl song. Well, they never had another hit like that one. They tried and did a sort of sequel about how cool Cartoon Heroes are. To see these middle-aged women, by my definition, talking about how cartoons live forever and never get old, how they keep dreams of young kids alive. It was just sad. You'd think they could sound happy when they were being recorded for an Australian promotional video, but no, they hated singing the song from my memory. Forget orgasms. Aussie woman can't fake being happy at a theme park. Dreamworld was good too. Dreamworld and Movie World are kind of like mortal enemies, I think. They seem to both compete to have the best rides. I just found out something. If you type Dream Space World into Wikipedia, it goes to some really crappy-looking theme park in Thailand. It seems to just have ripped-off rides. It's got pretend Disney World attractions. You need to say Dream World together, with no spaces, to get to the real Dream World theme park in Australia. At Dreamworld, I found lots of things I'd never seen before. The food was different from what I'm used to. I went there when I still ate meat. I ordered a chicken hamburger after a long wait at the Rugrats-themed restaurant. It cost more than anything at McDonald's, and it was tiny. I don't think there were any actual meat in the patty. It was all like stuffing or something cooked up and put in a bun, maybe a slice of tomato and lettuce, about 6 chips on the side, with a small paper cup of Coke.
That'll be $20, thanks.
Everything was also halal. Halal is an Islamic way of killing animals. It means a lot of things, but halal kind of gets summed up as the okay way to do something. I asked my dad, who worked at one of the freezing works here, that's like an abattoir. He said that some people worked in the halal part of it, where the animals got put into some huge turntable that stops pointing the cow in the right direction, where Mecca, a holy city, is, so that when the meat worker kills the cow and blesses its soul, then the soul can fly to Mecca easily. I went on the first roller coaster of my life here, Rugrats Runaway Reptile. It's a roller coaster for babies. Okay, little kids. It's painted up green and orange, with a little purple, I think. It gets up to 40 kilometers per hour, not very fast for a modern roller coaster. It had a fairly short line, probably only 20 minutes or so waiting. I'd give it 3 out of 5. I also saw the Cyclone. It's a traditional-looking steel roller coaster. You queue up in this twisted cyclone-style building. It spirals up. It's weird. Apparently more people go on this than the two major rides that people think of at Dreamworld. I'll mention those next. The Cyclone has a terrifying history. It was originally part of a Sydney theme park, Luna Park. I'm scared just mentioning the name of that place, but if I have enough courage, I'll talk about it last. I started going on the Cyclone, but the line was too long. I'd like to mention I felt the evil that flowed off that evil contraption. Dreamworld also has the Claw, a big spinning ride that is a pendulum kind of thing. It swings and spins guests around. I remember its opening on Rove Live, an Australian show that we get in New Zealand. People got to go on it before it opened if they went naked at night time. So gross thinking about all those naked people's bums on the seats. No way was I going on with that mental image of all the places the harnesses would have touched. I did go on the Wipeout, which spins and turns people about. That was pretty good. An old friend had told me about it killing someone. My friend was lucky enough to go to Australia when he was quite young. He said he went on all these awesome rides. I couldn't even imagine what they'd be like, not having theme parks here in Invercargill, population 50,000-ish. My friend said some kid fell out of the Wipeout harness, and he fell to his death. I can't find any proof of that online, so I assume that it was a lie to scare me. But I still thought about it while I was on the Wipeout. It has this big concrete wave behind the spinning ride. It feels like you're going to crash into the wave. On an online site I read years ago, some cool dude from Auckland, New Zealand had been to all the Australian theme parks. He was trying to act cool, like nothing scared him in his reviews on the theme park review site. Another commenter had mentioned about the new water feature. It's so funny. And the guy from Auckland laughed and said it was just this dumb shark on a track that circles in the water. It's so silly when you see it. A plastic shark on a track, just its fin is out of the water, really, and it goes round and round underneath the ride. You're not going to be scared of that when you're on this crazy thing, shaking and spinning. It's throwing you in every which way. I'd give the Wipeout 4 out of 5. It gave an awesome view, and you're really close to people watching the ride. It was really good. I saw the two biggest rides at Dreamworld, the Tower of Terror and the Giant Drop. The Tower of Terror is a roller coaster that gently strolls up the track and up the mentioned 115-meter tower at the leisurely speed of 160 kilometers per hour or so. No biggie. When it opened in 1997, it was the tallest and fastest roller coaster in the world. In the world. Acceleration takes just 7 seconds to hit the full 160 kilometers per hour. Riders feel weightless for the 3 seconds up and the 3 seconds down. The car you ride in up the tower has spikes sticking out of it. It makes a hell of a noise going up. It weighs 6 tons by itself, I assume. I'll play a clip I took of the ride going up now.
Can you tell that?
awesome to watch, but it hurts my ears. If you want to see a video, there's quite a few on YouTube. Just search Tower of Terror. More interesting facts about the Tower of Terror. It uses 5 kilometers of electrical cable, takes about 3,500 liters of paint to coat it, and it uses over 600 tons of steel for the structure. My favorite fact is about how much power it uses. It's launched magnetically by electromagnets. Driving the motors uses 2.2 megawatts of electricity. That's enough power for a small town. And when the ride's in use, it doubles the power that the whole Dreamworld theme park uses. So all the other rides put together just equal the Tower of Terror in power use. Sharing the same tower is the Giant Drop. It's a bit like an elevator. You go up the tower in the car. It holds you up there for 40 seconds. It doesn't tell you that. It must feel forever before it suddenly plummets down at about 140 kilometers per hour to the ground. Now for my excuses. I didn't go on the Tower of Terror because it screwed up somehow while I was there. It parked the ride car in the wrong place. It stopped it in front of the station instead of at the station, according to my friends who are in a separate group from me. Sounds like it could have malfunctioned and that the emergency shutdown happened. Maybe the computer thought something was wrong. But what if the computer decided to shut it down at the top of the tower? Could staff override what the computer thought it was happening? What if something actually did happen? I'm sure the car didn't have brakes. It goes up the tower through its speed and momentum. It's not like it can park itself up there. Gravity would bring it down. But it's pretty scary to imagine it parking up there. On the same exact day, the day that I was there, the Giant Drop on the other side of the tower had a problem too. It's got a counterweight on the other side from where the car is, and that counterweight bent its track, I was told. I'm not sure how that got out, if the staff members told people queuing up, but it took about 20 minutes to fix. I saw that much for myself. I was scared enough looking at pictures of these rides, then seeing it for myself. But when two rides sharing the same structure, the tower, both go wrong within an hour or whatever of each other, something's just not right. So I didn't go on it. My friends did. Almost everyone in my group, apart from me and a couple others, went on those rides. I think they loved them. They probably both deserve 5 out of 5, based on what my friends said. Okay, the last theme park. The dreaded Luna Park, over in Sydney, Australia. Luna Park. I get shivers just saying that. It opened in 1935 for the first time. Despite being around over 70 years, it's been closed a lot of times, left abandoned. It's had legal battles, people near it have complained, and other events like that. The location used to house workshops and cranes from when the Sydney Harbour Bridge was built. On the 4th of October, 1935, the park first opened. It was... Okay, something really weird just happened. On this podcast, I'm recording it in GarageBand, and apparently it has a 33-minute and 16-second recording limit. And I went over that, and it just deleted everything that was past that point. So I've made a new file, and there's some crazy way of getting around the time limit by slowing down the tempo and the time signature and all kinds of musical things that I don't understand properly. But anyway, it seems to have worked so far. So I'm re-recording this last, I don't know, 5 minutes or so. I'm adding this last 5 minutes or so onto the into the end of the original file. So bear with me, okay? I've had a big problem. And I'm blaming Luna Park. It's so evil, it's made my computer have problems recording this podcast about it. So, on the 4th of October 1935, the park first opened. It was popular until it closed for winter. During the downtime, rides were repainted, maybe new things were put in, general maintenance stuff. The Wikipedia article says that Luna Park was a popular spot for soldiers on break. Large outside lights were kept off, in case the Japanese decided to blow up an Australian theme park during the war. Australian and American soldiers would get into fights around the park, and prostitutes frequented the area. One of the icons of the park is the smiling face at the entrance. I find it creepy, especially in old black and white photos. The park's entrance face has been redone a few times now because they get old looking. The first was replaced because it had started sagging. It sounds pretty funny. going into a theme park through a big sagging face. This park stopped being as popular during the 1950s, when people started getting cars and televisions, black and white TV no doubt. People just had other things to do now. The park was overhauled and a new mascot was dreamed up, Luna Bear, the space age koala. It didn't last long. In 1979, the first episode of horror occurred. 13 people were injured on the Big Dipper, a wooden roller coaster, from a steel beam that came loose. It made the two trains hit each other. This roller coaster had also killed someone before in 1946, a Canadian who sat on the edge of the car, not safely inside. He got thrown out and he hit a support pole. I'm really having fun editing this today. The Big Dipper, the wooden coaster, was demolished. In 1994, a new steel roller coaster was installed and named the Big Dipper. People living nearby complained about the noise, so its use was restricted to certain times of the day. The park shut soon after. The Big Dipper was sold to, you guessed it, Dreamworld, where it was called the Cyclone. So I started going on a ride that belonged to Luna Park until it was shut down yet again and sold to Dreamworld. I knew something was wrong with that cursed coaster. It wasn't just that the line was too long and I was scared having never been on a roller coaster before. So I'd made the right decision and I went on the little kid's coaster first. Now for the worst thing in Luna Park's history. The 1979 Sydney Ghost Train Fire. It has its own Wikipedia article, but then I guess people have made an article on Wikipedia about what times buses run in Invercargill, so there's articles about everything. The night of the 9th of June, 1979, the ghost train caught fire. 6 children were killed and 1 adult, that's 7 casualties. Nobody knows what started the fire. It's believed it could have been a Sydney underworld figure, as in the Mafia. The guy's name was Abe Saffron, known for selling alcohol illegally, nightclubs, prostitution, all that mob kind of stuff like Scarface or Grand Theft Auto. Luna Park closed again until 1982. In 1995, a memorial garden was installed where the riot had been. The items of the garden got lost during the 2003 development. At the moment, there's just a plaque listing the names of the dead. Soon a mural is to be painted as well. In 2007, another memorial park was made in a different location, including a statue. The ghost train was built in 1931, before the park was created. The fire couldn't be fought because of a lack of water pressure, not enough staff members, and the fire hose system couldn't reach all of the ghost train. Luna Park has been used for many Australian TV series and movies. Scenes were shot of Skippy the Bush Kangaroo on location. After the park closed in 1996, the Olsen twins shot part of a movie there. So that's my episode about Australasian theme parks. I hope you liked it, despite my technical difficulties. As I said at the start, I might make an episode about Disney, Walt Disney, the famous cartoons and controversies, and the theme parks. Quite a few amazing rides there that I'd like to see, and a lot of awful history. People being dragged to death behind the golf cart style park transport, people who snuck in after hours and died horribly, an elderly staff member being hit by the monorail, and rumours that Walt is cryogenically frozen and hidden at one of the theme parks. Oh, and Club 33. That could do with its own short episode. Look that one up. Club 33. I'd love to be a member. You get a special card, etc. It costs an awful lot of money per year, and it's got a secret entrance. Inside, it's basically a fancy restaurant for rich people to show off how powerful they are by taking guests. If you want to contact me, even just to say you listened, send an email to jwontdart@gmail.com. jwontdart@gmail.com. I'd appreciate it. Have a super happy day. Bye.